Senate will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call for Friday, January 21st. Barnard? Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Esquibel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert? Hicks?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Nutting?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Excuse.
Ross?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Schiffer?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Flatern? President Anderson?
Here.
Barnard?
Excuse.
Hastert?
Excuse.
27 present, 3 excused.
Prayer by Senator Cooper. Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January the 20th, 2011, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nutting, Chairman.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Cynthia Lamas was elected to represent the people of Wyoming in the U.S. House of Representatives in the year 2008 and is currently serving on the Committee on Agriculture, Committee on Budget, and Committee on Natural Resources. She served for 14 years in the Wyoming House and Senate and completed her legislative service in 1994. She then chaired Governor-elect Jim Geringer's transition team and continued to work in the governor's office for 2 more years. She was then elected Wyoming State Treasurer in 1998 and held that office for 2 terms. Representative Lamas continues to be involved in the daily operations of the Lamas Family Ranch, located in Laramie County, while proudly serving the residents of Wyoming and Washington. So, members of the Senate, please help me in welcoming Representative Lamas to the chamber.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. May I have the privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
It is an honor for me to be with you today. My terms in this legislature and in this Senate are among the fondest memories that I have, even in spite of the fact that I was seated across the aisle from Senator Hank Coe. And I see many friends and colleagues and people with whom I served here and who I know continue to serve this state with great distinction. And I see many new faces, faces that I knew would make wonderful additions to this Senate. And I'm so pleased to see you here and delighted to have the honor and privilege to address you this morning. I came back from Washington last night. As you know, the House, now being in Republican majority hands, spent the week repealing Obamacare and organizing committees. I am now on the Appropriations Committee, and I'm on three subcommittees that I look forward to working with you on and receiving input from you on. They are the Subcommittee on Agriculture, the Subcommittee on Interior and Environment, which includes oversight over the EPA and all agencies within the U.S. Department of the Interior, and Labor, Health, Human Services, and Education. These are all areas that, along with the rest of the federal budget, are going to experience significant cuts in spending in the coming two budget cycles. We need your help in identifying areas where the federal government is constraining your ability to deliver services to the people here in Wyoming in an efficient and effective manner. We know, and I know from serving in this body, that state government is at the top of the pyramid as envisioned by the Founding Fathers. That state government created the federal government, not the other way around. And that under the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, rights not limited to the federal government were reserved for the states and the people. So I want to serve you as you assume the role envisioned by the Founding Fathers, that the states and the people actually control the federal government and that it responds to you. So by all means, if you can think of ways that we can help you deliver services to the people in Wyoming in a manner which saves state dollars and saves federal dollars, works more efficiently for the good of the people of this state, I urge you to do so. We've already heard some wonderful suggestions regarding Medicaid from Senator Scott. Charlie, thank you very much for your thoughtful letter, which we are spreading far and wide, including to Speaker Boehner and Paul Ryan and others to whom you addressed the letter, and your thoughts were much appreciated. Others of you have worked with other agencies that we can be of assistance on, be they within the subcommittees that I serve on within appropriations or others. By all means, let us help you do your jobs well and serve the American people well as we particularly address the needs of the people of this wonderful state. God bless you in your work, Mr. President. God bless this Senate and our beloved state of Wyoming. Thank you for the privilege of being with you today.
Well, Representative Lummis, on behalf of the Wyoming Legislature, we'd like to thank you for taking the time to visit with us today, and we wish you the continued success serving Wyoming in the United States House of Representatives. Personally, I'd like to say we heard your message very loud and clear. We accept your invitation to work collectively and collaboratively on the issues that you outlined in your remarks. Thank you so much. Doctor for the day is Dr. Paul Johnson from Cheyenne. No nurse scheduled. On this day in history in 1949, the legislature passed an anti-drunk flying bill. Are there any amendments? introduction, reading, and reference of bills. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, did you want to comment in regard to the agenda for the day?
Mr. President, thank you. Members of the Senate, in order to accommodate the Appropriations Committee with regards to its markup of the supplemental budget, we are going to take third reading first so they can cast their votes, and then we can allow them to be excused and continue their work on the supplemental budget. So there will be a change in which we'll take third reading first before second reading, and then, of course, committee of the whole, and I request that that be approved.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Absent any objection, seeing none, we will then proceed with third reading bills on third reading. The first, we'll go first to the introduction of bills on first reading, and then we will go then to third reading. So having said that, that will be the change. So our first Senate file, first reading bill will be Senate file 121.
Senate file 121, performance-based evaluation and design, and act relating to environmental quality, sponsored by Senator Bebout.
Senate file 121 has been referred to committee number 9, minerals. Senate file 123, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate file 123, Katie's Law, an act relating to criminal procedures, sponsored by Senator Nunning.
Thank you. Senate file 123 has been referred to committee number 1, Judiciary. Reports from standing committees.
January the 21st, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 65, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, and Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman. January the 21st, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 81, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, and Hicks, Senator Geis, Chairman. January the 20th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 86, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Hines, and Perkins. No, Senators Case and Emmerich. Senator Hines, Chairman. January the 20th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 99, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Case, Emmerich, Hines, and Perkins. Senator Hines, Chairman.
Thank you. Members of the body, before we go to third reading, there's a resolution that I'd like to read. And so, Curry, our page, would you come up here and stand kind of in front of the desk, please? Curry, this is a resolution of the Senate of the 61st Legislature of the State of Wyoming. This is a resolution to recognize Curry Anderson, your service as a page in the Wyoming Senate. So be it resolved by the Senate of the 61st Legislature of the State of Wyoming, whereas Curry has served as a page for the Senate from January 10th through January the 21st, the year 2011, Whereas Curry's service as a page has been exceptional and fully appreciated by the Wyoming senators, and whereas this resolution has the support of the members of the Senate of Wyoming legislature who have signed their names hereunto, now therefore be it resolved by the undersigned members of the Senate of the legislature of the state of Wyoming that Curry has served the Senate of the state of Wyoming with dignity and with respect, and that Curry's dedication will serve him well in his future endeavors. So with great appreciation, we recognize Curry Anderson, you Curry, for your outstanding dedication and support to the state of Wyoming on this 21st day of January 2011. If you have any remarks, you're welcome to. Curry, there's a political axiom perhaps you should not forget. You never get in trouble for what you don't say. Now I think that we're ready for those bills on third reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, third reading consent list is as follows. Senate File 24, State Investments. Senate File 27, Paramutual Commission Amendments. Senate File 31, Off-Road Vehicle Definition. Senate File 41, Film Industry Financial Incentives Program. Senate File 43, Title 19, Veterans Commission Duties. Senate File 92, Natural Gas Storage. And Senate File 101, Hathaway Student Scholarship Program.
Would anyone like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Senator Case.
Mr. President, Senate File 24, and Mr. President, Senate File 41.
Thank you, Senator Case. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 27, Senate File 31, Senate File 43, Senate File 92, Senate File 101. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard. Excused. Bebout.
Aye.
Burns. Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins. Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothbus.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatron.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 27. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 27, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 31, are there any changes? Senator Barnard, would you like to change your vote from excused?
Yes.
Stand up and say.
Barnard, excused to I. Senate File 31. Senate File 31, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 31, 30 ayes. Senate File 43, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 43, 30 ayes. Senate File 92, are there any changes?
Case aye to no.
Case aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 92, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 101, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 101, 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 27, Senate File 31, Senate File 43, Senate File 92, Senate File 101 have passed the Senate. Other bills on third reading. Senate File 3, third reading of the Senate file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, just a point of order and clarification from the clerk. Was the vote closed on the consent list with regards to Senator Barnard? If it was, then I think he has to change his vote on each bill, Madam Chairman. That being the case, we may need to go back through and allow him that opportunity to change his vote.
Having heard the request, I think that's in order. We would ask the chief clerk to go back through that vote and to restore the integrity of those votes cast. So the chief clerk, are we then ready to proceed with the vote? Seeing no objection, we'll go on, ask the chief clerk then to proceed with the vote.
Well, should we? Do you want to start with Senate File?
The chief clerk, I think, will read the list as it occurred originally, announce the title or announce the number of the bill, and then we will then know, as well as the good senator, exactly what we're voting on again.
Okay, Senate File 27. Are there any changes?
Please stand. Please stand, Senator.
Senator Bernard, from excuse to aye. Okay. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 27, 30 ayes. Senate File 31. I have 30 ayes on the initial vote. Senate File 43, are there any changes? Senator Bernard, excused to aye. Are there any other changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 92, are there any changes? Senator Bernard, excused to aye. Senator Case, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 92, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 101, are there any changes? Senator Bernard, excused to aye. Closing vote, closing, vote closed. Senate File 101, 30 ayes.
Having completed the list, then I would urge all senators to be in their seat, particularly on third reading votes. Thank you, Madam Chief Clerk. Bills on third reading. Senate File 24, third reading of the Senate file. Or excuse me, we're already, Senate File 3, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 3, Campaign Finance Organizations, an Act relating to campaign finance, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are some amendments. The reading clerk will please read the third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 3. That is the Hines Amendment.
Senate File 3, third reading amendment number 1, page 4, line 7.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, I move third reading number 1 to Senate File 3. What this is a clarification. Perhaps when I was explaining the amendment, I didn't do it quite well enough because I've had some emails on the extra requirements we're putting in for independent expenditures. And so I'm referring this amendment will refer you to the statute that we're adding that will define independent expenditures, and that is on page 3 of the bill, starting on line 13. I reiterate that this amendment does not change our regular reporting for any of our candidates or PACs. It is for the independent expenditures, and those are the ones that someone will buy ads or a radio and TV announcement without the consent of the party that is either a candidate or promoting an issue. I hope this will make it a little clearer, and I ask your support for the amendment.
Thank you. Any other questions or discussion in regard to this First Amendment? Seeing none, Question before us is in regard to third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 3. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. There is a second amendment to on third reading to Senate File 3. Would the reading clerk please read the case amendment?
Senate File 3, third reading amendment number 2, page 4, line 7.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 3. Mr. President, what this amendment does is go into the disclosure amendment that we passed the other day, and where the listing of the name and address and telephone number has to be provided, and it deletes the requirement that the telephone number be published. Because remember, these are the three largest contributors to the organization. We were making them literally publish their phone numbers. And I think there is, you know, a lot of people go to a lot of lengths to protect the privacy of their telephone numbers if you had an unlisted phone number. And it's kind of your right to do so. So they're already putting your name forward and your address is available. I'm not sure that we need telephone number. And I think that, you know, if I have to take on an issue and I have to put my telephone number on it, that might be a chilling effect on free speech that I think we probably don't need. I've talked to the original proponents of the amendment. I don't think there's anybody that has a problem with removing the telephone numbers, and that's all this amendment does. I'm still against the disclosure requirements. I think that's overwhelming, but all this does is take out the telephone numbers.
Are there any? Yes, Senator Hines.
Mr. President, I have no objections as long as we have the name and an address. That should be sufficient.
Any further questions in regard to the amendment number 2? Seeing none, I guess we will ready for the question. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 3, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? No. That amendment has carried. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Yes, Senator Jennings.
I agree with the spirit of this bill, but I think we're creating a processing nightmare, as it was brought up in a debate on the floor. What happens when things change? You get you're already out there, printed everything, and then somebody comes in with a bigger contribution. And I think this would probably be better handled downstairs with the electronic filing that we have in place. I know it'd be an additional addition to that. But I think it'd be better handled down there than it would be in this bill.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Case.
Mr. President, just put it all in perspective. We've got to have the bill because this is related to United States Supreme Court decision where our requirements with respect to free speech and voting are not in compliance with the Constitution as interpreted by the U.S. Supreme Court. So we've got to have the bill. I, like many members in here, have some dissatisfaction with the way it was amended here, but, you know, we have two houses. We'll see this bill again. There'll be a concurrence, and you're welcome to pursue it in the other house. You would have been welcome today to bring an amendment to strip off the amendment that we had if you wanted to pursue down that road. But the basics of the bill we got to have. We really don't have a choice on that. So I urge you to pass the bill, there is the option of laying the bill back for a day, and you guys bring in other amendments to strip it out. If you want to do that, get up and ask for that. But if you're not going to do that, let's pass the bill. I commit to follow the passage through this legislature and try to maybe make those disclosure requirements less burdensome. But you got to vote for it as it stands.
Thank you, Senator Case. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move to lay this bill back. I think that This isn't the kind of product that we want to send down to the other house. It's just not ready for prime time. And I think if we had the weekend to work on it, possibly get some amendments that will actually work. And so I would move that we lay the bill back.
Question been made that Senate File 3 be laid back until third reading tomorrow. Is there any objection? Seeing none, Senate File 3 has been laid back until third reading on Monday, I believe. Yes. Yes, Senator Coe.
I believe the good senator from Goshen County made a motion.
Motion?
I think we have to vote on a
motion. Okay, I did not hear that correctly. All those in favor of Senator Myers' motion that Senate File 3 be laid back until third reading on Monday, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
I believe that motion has carried. Senate File 3 will be laid back until third reading Monday. Thank you, Senator Coe. Yes. You may. Go ahead, Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like to welcome the Boy Scouts that are up in the back balcony here today. I'd also like to welcome the new Eagle Scouts into the Brotherhood. Kenneth Burns, Cody McDowell, Corey McDowell, Bradley McDowell. Boy, the McDowell family went to work, didn't they? Matthew McFall, Jordan. I hope I said that right. McFall, Ken Burns. We have a Weeblos up there, Scott Bradford, and we have all kinds of parents and leaders. Being a fellow Eagle, I congratulate these young men, and I would hope the Senate would welcome them and hope they learn something today.
Welcome, Scouts. We hope that you do, in fact, learn something from your observation of the Senate today. Senate File 24, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 24, State Investments, an Act Relating to State Investments, sponsored by Senator Martin, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Senate File 24, any comments? Senator Case?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like to the body to exercise caution with respect to the enthusiasm that seems to grow for this type of financing and to consider really the implications of our Constitution. Remember, Article 16, Section 6 prohibits the loaning of credit and donations. It says that neither the state nor any county, city, township, town, school, or any other political subdivision shall loan or give its credit or make donations in the aid of an individual, association, or corporation, except for necessary support of the poor. And I do, we had a discussion the other day about the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. And that's, of course, established in another section of the Constitution. And that establishing function gives the legislature the ability to direct to a certain extent the investments in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. That's the source of our things that we call legislatively directed investments, of which this type of industrial revenue bond is. But I point out that in the part of the Constitution establishing the ability of the legislature to direct investments, it doesn't say, notwithstanding the fact that the state cannot lend its credit. So we still are bound by that. Now, how it's been gotten around, and industrial revenue bonds have been around for a while, Mr. President. They go back, really they were established, I think, in the 1960s with respect to an IRS code that gives advantages to private entities that are able to get this type of financing. Now, the courts, you know, the court has wrestled with this, and they have upheld them in Wyoming. But I point out that it is a lukewarm upholding. And what it finds, it says, shortly after the adoption of the Act, cases were heard, and the court heard several cases. The end result was that the court upheld industrial development financing, but with a notable lack of enthusiasm. And it goes to discuss, there were dissenting opinions that talked about the fact that there wasn't a public purpose, or that the public purpose was not strong and overriding in the issuance of these bonds. And there were challenges directly on the point of it, that they were lending of credit. They got around that because they said the cities and towns participated in it, kind of cleaned it up. But the dissenting opinion said quite clearly this was a lending of credit. You yourself have taken an oath to the Constitution. Is this a lending of credit? Do we, by either issuing these bonds at low interest rates or issuing bonds to riskier investments at the same investment interest rate, riskier investments at the same interest rate that would be reserved for risk-free investments that we'd normally invest in, are we indeed lending credit? Think about the euro to the Constitution and think about, we are lending credit. This violates our Constitution.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, I rise in actually favor of the bill. When you look at the Industrial Revenue Bond, there's two things that are important to recognize. First of all, the Industrial Revenue Bond, the source of repayment is only by the revenues generated by the project. The statute under which the Industrial Revenue Bonds are issued specifically prohibit the pledging of any local revenues from the local municipalities. These things have to be approved and generated by a local, either county, municipality, or some other political subdivision of the state in order to issue these bonds. And yet the credit and the assets and the funds of those issuing agencies are not at risk. Instead, the statute specifically requires that these bonds look to only the source of revenue derived from the project, and in addition to that, the assets of the project are usually, and the statute specifically provides that they can be pledged for the repayment of the credit. So with respect to the extension of credit, it's not an extension of credit. Neither the municipality nor the state is on the hook with the extension of credit. The question is whether or not this is an appropriate investment for the state. If the state can choose to buy these industrial revenue bonds, or individuals can buy these industrial revenue bonds, these things go out and they're marketed to the public and to anybody else who wants to buy them in various places. Now, they can be marketed private, and if somebody wants to buy the entire issue, they can. But that's the investment side. That's not the bonding issuance side. That's the investment side. So you have to what you have to ask yourself, and with respect to investments, I would remind the body that as we looked on the Select Committee of Investments and Finance, capital investments and finance, we looked at that. I can tell you, in the last recession, there was $1 billion lost out of the $10 billion that the Treasury invests. There was $1 billion lost in those so-called risk-free investments. I submit to you that these investments are not risk-free. We looked, there was a major automobile company that for years has been considered a blue chip that now went through bankruptcy, and the federal government ended up owning approximately 60% of that. We had massive insurance institutions that by the stretch of any stretch of the imagination seemed only a few years ago to be completely solvent, but through their negotiation of derivatives and other things, messed that up. So there is no such thing as a risk-free investment. And even what was presumed to be the most risk-free investment, Treasury bonds in the United States of America, now you have to wonder how risk-free those are at this day and age. So don't get confused with the credit versus the investment. There's two issues that come in these RDRBs, and it's premature to say that the state would be the one who buys those. That goes through the SLIP board and the Treasurer's office, whether those are bought or not. But there's no requirement when those bonds are issued that the state invest in those. The other side of that coin is that when the bonds are issued, there is no credit from the municipality, the state, or the county in issuing those bonds.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I speak on and in favor of the bill, and I, too, believe that it is constitutional, and I would have made the same points that have been made by my colleague from Natrona County. The only other thing I would add to that is after these IRBs have been issued, and the state had that opportunity, and it's only an opportunity to purchase those, that there are safeguards built into that. And we talked about the Uniform Prudent Investor Act. Our state treasurer is obligated by law to follow that act, and it's very extensive. I have a copy of it here, and I think there's plenty of protection in there with guidance for the state treasurer to do that in a prudent investor facility in a manner. The other thing is that the governor, from a policy standpoint, has to approve it. So there are plenty of safeguards in it. The last thing I would mention, Mr. President, if you look at the issue of these IRBs, there really is a value to them based on the economic development side. And communities and different areas have them as a tool to be utilized. I can remember years ago, where we just talked about having bonds to deal with the Kern River pipeline. Bonds were never issued, but because the legislature stepped up and took the position that we would consider doing it, and because of the leadership by the state and other issues being involved, we were able to start exporting our gas to the West Coast in higher volumes than we were ever able to do before. So there was a real value there. I'm not saying this would be utilized specifically for that, but that is another value to it, that being from the economic development side. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I, too, rise in favor of the bill. And then also question the good senator from Fremont County on the constitutional issue. What we're looking at here, and being clear, is we're amending a statute that's already in existence. So, and we're just, when we're increasing the amount of that is allowed here. So when you discuss the factor of the constitutionality of it, I'm assuming he's discussing the fact that the original portion of this statute, whenever it was enacted, and I don't have that time frame when it was originally enacted, some time ago, was the unconstitutional part. But we're simply adding a provision to, or adding, increasing the amount in an existing provision, not adding something new or doing something brand new. This is simply increasing the amount.
Senator Schiffer.
A couple things. One is to set the record straight. Folks understand that this investment is not subject to the prudent investment law. I'll refer you to the January 20th, 2011 letter to our colleague, Senator Martin, from the State Treasurer's Office. And I'm looking on the first page. I'll read it. The State Treasurer is required to follow the prudent investment rule as stipulated in Wyoming Statute 410-901 when making investment decisions, except as may otherwise be directed by the legislature. That's what this bill does. It carves an exception out. It says, nope, this is not under the prudent investor rule. We are telling you, and that's what we're doing, to go do this deal. I hope everybody understands that scrutiny is no longer there. It's not to say it's a bad process. However, has the state lost money in these types of ventures? You bet we have. You bet. The state had a large agricultural loan portfolio. The state in the mid-'80s, early 90s, took losses on those loans. They repoed the ranches, and they sold them, just as they ought to, at a loss. We had a constitutional program. We took losses on those. We're still trying to recover back, and perhaps we will, some of the principal involved in those. The interest, we wrote all that off. These are not without risk. That's not to say this is a bad program that they're talking about investing in, but there is risk involved, and it evades the scrutiny that all other investments from the State Treasurer's Office undergo, which is the prudent investor rule. We've carved it out of that.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I share all those concerns. I did want to point out that in the when we did the industrial loans in the 80s, we required folks that were using those investments to purchase zero coupon bonds from the dollars that were borrowed, so that what ended up happening is that you borrow $6 million, you take $4 million, $3 million, you buy a bond with a zero coupon, which at the end of the day would repay the principal. You're right, we lost all the interest, but the principal for those loans was recovered. There's no such protection as I believe in these. With respect to the agricultural loans, we have created a fund to make sure that there is a balance available to make up the loss of the corpus to the permanent mineral trust fund. So for all those ag loans, even though there are defaults, as we set up today, there is a reserve fund to preserve the corpus of the permanent mineral trust fund. as we now go through and take a look at the IRBs, if you have a legislative designated investment that does not protect the corpus in a like manner, you do have to wonder who's out protecting that corpus.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. And we should remember, too, that in any of these particular ag loans, the state receives that land back. They retain the mineral rights. And I can tell you over in Platte and Goshen County, they've tripled, double, quadrupled. We've had some of those lands over there. They got $2,500 an acre on ag loans that might have been $65 or $70 an acre. So, you know, the state does follow reasonable investment operations. They really do. And as far as transparency, as to where we can track these things, our state treasurer has one of the most transparent organizations in this country. You can get on the web and find out what any of these things are doing at any time.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, a question for the sponsor, and perhaps they gave it and I missed it in the prior reading of this bill, but we're increasing this fund from 500 million to $1 billion, and I want to know how much of that currently 500 million is invested, used up, and what, if it's not all used up, then what is the potential and what are the projects that's coming forward? It's all public information, I believe, and if there's some big project that we needed, I think the public should know about it. So I'd like to know just what the need for the additional is.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before the prime sponsor has the opportunity to talk on this, I just wanted to mention the fact that, you know, this is an existing law that we're amending. So with a lot of the discussion today about constitutionality and about whether or not the system has gone awry before and everything, that's interesting that we've let this law be in effect all these years. We're simply amending this bill. We're really not changing the basic wording and structure of this statute.
Senator Martin.
Thank you, Mr. President. As to the question from the good senator from Campbell County, my understanding, the portion that you were looking at, that's an aggregate of the other investments, a total of the other investments that are in the treasurer's office. Actually, when you go back to page 1, subsection M, where it states to promote economic development, we are increasing that amount from 100 million to 600 million. And the reason behind that, presently the Wyoming Business Council has had interest indicated from industry of about $800 million in projects. They're close to signing an agreement for a $23 million project sometime in the next month or so. The as this would work out, if the bonds, even on the one at $23 million, the bonds would not be issued until after the sunset date that's in this bill. So the idea behind this was that we would extend the sunset date, increase the amount because there is interest there for some major expansions of industrial or companies here in this state, and then to work through the process to ensure that they would be capable of holding these loans.
Are there questions or comments? You are ready for the question? Senate File 24. Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barnard. Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 19 ayes, 11 noes.
Senate File 24, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 24 has passed the Senate. Senate File 41, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 41, Film Industry Financial Incentives Program, and Act Relating to Travel and Tourism, sponsored by the Travel Committee. Be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Comment regarding the bill, Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, in this bill, sort of the constitutionality of this bill hinges on the fact that is the state of Wyoming getting something for its money? And are we getting something of value so that we're not making a donation to a private company or entity within the control of the state? I mean, clearly a donation is being made, or clearly the expenditure is being made. Up to 15% of the expenses are directly paid. They're not expenses necessarily of any particular category, Mr. President, and, therefore, up to 15% of the cost of the expenditures of making a movie. And I don't know what all those are, but they do a lot of different things. It doesn't say it has to be on Wyoming, folks. It doesn't say much about that. But I will point out that in the actual law, when it was passed in 2007, we had an intent clause, and that was obviously to try to beat back some court challenges. It says, it is the purpose of this act to promote economic development at the city, town, and county level in order to create additional economic health and a diversified state economy, and to provide promotion and public visibility of Wyoming as a tourist or business destination. Goes on a little bit. I've heard discussion that we're, in essence, buying advertising, and that we're paying and getting advertising, and that that makes this constitutional, and that we're getting something for our money. No one in discussing this bill has shown that what we get for our money is adequate to pass the constitutional test for the amount of money that we're putting out. And you can't just get a little bit back. It has to be commensurate with what we're spending. And people have said, this has been millions and millions of dollars worth of goodwill and promotion for Wyoming. Prove it. You haven't proved it. It's a piddly program. Almost nothing's been spent. We're not in the league to do it for the big folks. And the great movies that people talked about featuring Wyoming, they weren't made with this program. They were made because, thank God, we live in Wyoming, and this is where they have to come to get the scenery. I urge your no vote.
Other comments on the bill? Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, I'd support the bill again. The reports that have been supplied to us show that there has been a good return, but if we look farther out, it's that long-term benefit and exposure, not just regionally, but across the nation and internationally. We are going to be competing more and more for our customers, for our tourists and visitors, and as this economy changes, not just in the U.S., but in the world, our customers may be coming from outside, and this exposure is very important. Thank you.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. The scenery's there. The mountains are there. We got a great place. I submit to you as a body that they're going to come anyway. We have the great estate. of all 50 states. They're going to come anyway, with or without this. It's still in question, and my biggest concern, and I reemphasize that when we removed that sunset, it's still one more step we pulled away from the screening process and use of the public dollar. Stand against the bill.
Other questions or comments? Question being called. Senate File 41, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer? Scott?
No.
Von Platern?
No.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing?
Nicholas,
aye to no. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 17 ayes, 13 noes.
Senate File 41, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 41 has passed the Senate. Bills on second reading. Senate File 10, second reading of the Senate file. Just a minute.
Senate File 10, Protection of Livestock Animals, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee.
Before we get into discussion of the bill, Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, if I may have the privilege of the floor.
You may.
The Joint Appropriations Committee will be leaving to complete the markup as soon as the House has gone through their third reading. I'll go down to check to see whether they're done, and we'll come back and pull them out. Mr. President, since I'll be off the floor the rest of the day, there's a standing committee meeting notice for the Senate Appropriations Committee for the following bills to be heard on Monday. Senate File 9, Economic Analysis. Senate File 33, State Parks Acquisition of Lands. Senate File 59, Spice Drugs. Senate File 100, Cruelty to Animals. Mr. President, the notice says that's going to happen 30 minutes after noon adjournment, but I realized once the notice went out that I have a conflict during that time, so we're going to send out an amended notice and begin hearing those bills at 8:30 a.m. on Monday. And then we'll follow the anything that doesn't get done. We'll consider them after the Rules Committee that's on adjournment, so the Rules Committee will meet, and following the adjournment of the Rules Committee, we'll go in to complete the bills. Mr. Chairman, these are all re-referred bills, and we'll pick up the re-referrals first, and then we'll move on to the other bills. If any of the sponsors have problems at that time, please let us know, because we do need to march through these bills with appropriations to get them out next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Nicholas. I am going to ask the reading clerk to read Senate File number 10 in again, just so that we can get back into the flow. So Senate File 10, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 10, Protection of Livestock Animals, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee.
Thank you. There are no amendments. Are there any comments in regard to Senate File 10? Senate File 10, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 14, the reading clerk will please, second reading of the bill, the reading clerk will please read the bill in.
Senate File 14, Counties Election District, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
There is an amendment. Reading clerk will please read in that first amendment.
Senate File 14, second reading, amendment number 1, page 1, line 2.
That is the Johnson Amendment. Senator Johnson, would you like to move that amendment, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 14. It was pretty obvious in testimony on general file that I think that the counties ought to be all at large or all single-member districts, no combination thereof. I like the purity of that and the simplicity of that. So let's do one or let's do another. The comment was made about gerrymandering. I think it would be easier to gerrymander if you have the combination, whether it is districts or whether it's all at large. You can sit down with either one. Everybody here knows that how that could be done. So this is just me asking you once again if you'll join me in saying let's do one or let's do the other, and let's not muddy it up. And if this fails, I promise I won't bring it on third reading.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, and it ought to fail. Mr. President, on and against the amendment. Seriously, there, now, and I'm one who thinks that in general that everybody at large is the better system on the county commissioners. I'm rural. I represent a district that is partly rural. The at-large system works better for having the rural members at least have some vote, some voice in what goes on. But there are some counties in this state where, Mr. President, a district system might make sense, and Exhibit A is probably Lincoln County, where you've got a northern half of the county and a southern half of the county. They've learned to live with the situation over the years. I'm told that a five-member, single-member district system wouldn't work for them. You'd have a one member with an impossible district that had one foot in the edge of the Star Valley and one foot in the southern part of the county, but a system that was two members at large in the southern half, two members at large in the northern half, and one member elected county at large might well be a successful system and something they could consider. I'm not saying they should. I'm not saying they would. But if I think it's important that we preserve that kind of option for counties so that if they want to do something like that, and we have several with more than one population center in the county where something like that might make sense, I think it's important that we preserve their option to do something other than all single member or all at large, because there's some local circumstances in the state, Mr. President, where it would make sense. So I would urge defeat of the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Honor. Mr. President, we already allow differences. We allow some have five, some have three commissioners. When we come to town, some have mayors, some have city managers. We allow different forms of government in local control and allow the people locally to determine that, to have that degree of self-determination within the confines of the statute. And, what works for one may not work for another. We found that successfully with towns. We've already found that successfully with other counties with differing numbers of commissioners. And so, if it's going to work and provide recognize the political realities in each individual county, let's let those folks figure it out and have the ability to do it.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise to oppose the amendment. I'm grateful to the sponsor. He shared this amendment with me earlier so we could track it through and make sure that it will achieve what he wants. So be clear that if you want to have only single-member districts be available when a county goes to districts, this would absolutely do so, and it requires there to be five and be with five commissioners. They'd have to live in the district, and it'd be much like our legislative districts. And thank you to the sponsor for that. Mr. Chairman, I would urge you not to vote for it. I think a lot of you had dinner last night with your county commissioners, and you probably learned how they feel about it. They've actually had an expert come out and talk to them, and the expert said that when they go to single-member districts, that there's been a very disappointing quality of government, increase in paternalism, bad. And this expert suggested that they look for alternative forms, and which would be different combinations of single-member and other districts to be able to achieve this, and that works better. The county commissioners also passed a resolution supporting the bill as written that provides for flexibility. The clerk's organization passed a resolution supporting the bill with flexibility. Now, will this impact the court case that is prevailing with respect to Fremont County? The only thing at issue in that case is an appeal that's been sent to the judge. The judge will rule up or down, and he'll decide if Fremont County indeed can provide for anything different. He's already said no, and the county's appealed, so if he says no again, no is no. It doesn't matter what the state law says, because no is no. And the other thing about this bill is that it says nothing will happen before 2012. And that was done very specifically, you know, so that it wouldn't impact that court case. So, Fremont County is going to be bound by the court case, period. Are you trying to push that same binding on other counties in your state? I think not. We've got communications from Lincoln County that says, we'd like to explore this. So if you vote for this amendment, you foreclose that, and you have single-member districts only. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Johnson?
Hammered on enough, and nobody wants to stand up and join the chorus. Basically, I agree with my long, lanky friend who just stood up from Natrona County. I think at large is the best. And if I remember right, all of the commissioners in that highly populated county in the northeast part of the state, southeast part of the state, where you're now sitting, are from the rural areas, some of them from very rural areas. So now we're passing a bill for Lincoln County, okay? I guess we can pass them for specific regions. One last time, keep it pure, keep it simple, the old KISS theory. As a voice in the wilderness, I would ask you to vote for this amendment.
Question? Are you ready for the question on the amendment? In regard to the amendment, all those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 14, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. There are none, no others. So is there any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none. Senate File 14, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 17, second reading of the bill. Yes, Senator Perkins. Request has been made to lay Senate File 17 back till second reading on Monday. Is there any objection? Seeing none, Senate File 17 will be laid back until second reading on Monday. Thank you, Senator Perkins. Senate File 47, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 47, Concealed Weapons, sponsored by Senator Jennings.
Senate File 47, there is an amendment, that being the Rosas Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the first amendment?
Senate File 47, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 16.
Senator Rosas, would you like to move the amendment and present it, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move second reading amendment number one on Senate file 47, and at your discretion, I'd like to go through the amendment. The amendment clarifies an issue that I raised yesterday on this particular bill, where we carve out through the legislation one of the requirements that is currently in place to be a concealed carry permit holder in the state of Wyoming under current statute, which is the requirement that the individual demonstrates familiarity with a firearm. This is little 7 under current statute, under the little B. If we look at the bill that my good senator from Natrona County has presented to us, and consider the amendments also that another senator from Natrona County has provided to us, we see on page 2, line 16, that as it currently stands, we have that it specifies in paragraphs B little 1 through basically B little 9 exclusive of B little 7. The amendment that I am proposing is to reinsert the little 7 requirement to demonstrate familiarity with a firearm by amending the language in deleting the little 6 and inserting the little 9, which will basically take this new statute or the requirements for concealed carry without permit such that the requirements in place are equivalent to what we have right now. So you wouldn't need a permit, you wouldn't need to do anything additional, you wouldn't need to go pay a fee, but you would need to have accomplished one of the requirements that indicates that you have demonstrated familiarity with a firearm, and those are enumerated under Little 7 in the statute right now. And, Mr. President, I'd urge favorable consideration of that amendment.
Comments or questions in regard to the amendment? Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just take you back to how we started yesterday with those two pieces of the Constitution, shall not be infringed and shall not be denied. I was accused by one of my least favorite medias that this was not a well-thought-out bill. But this was a part that we really struggled with and we really thought about when we were putting the bill together. If you require this to state to be put into the bill, basically what you're doing is you're developing a way of permitting again, because how can you show that you've had this training? If you say, yeah, I've been trained, well, the next level is that you have to produce a card or you have to produce a proof that you did it. So you're going to have the certificate folded up in your wallet and wear out of your card that says you went through it. So this was a difficult area in putting the bill together. But what you do is you go back and you look at 23-2-106, which is in the Game and Fish. And Mr. President, if you'll indulge me to refer to another bill, we are limited. Training.
Limited.
Very limited. We are training, Mr. President. And another bill that we had was the hunter safety in the schools. So as a community in Wyoming, we are training. When the Hunter Safety Program went in many years ago, anybody that hunts in Wyoming has to have that training. And when we left the residency requirement in yesterday, that means as a society in Wyoming, our citizens are being trained in the safe handling of firearms. Does that mean if a couple might slip through? No argument there. But again, Mr. President, I go back to how we started this. If we do this, it's another condition, it's another form of permitting, and that's what I thought when we went through yesterday, is that we were willing to set that aside. So, Mr. President, I would ask that everybody would defeat this bill, or this amendment.
Further discussion in regard to this amendment? Question being called. Senator Rossus, Senator Perkins. Okay. Senator Rossus. I'm sorry, Senator Rossus. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Speaking directly on the last speaker's concerns, It's true. We're trying to move towards a situation where we have an easier time getting a hunter safety course taught in schools. I think that's a good bill that we previously discussed, and I'm looking forward to having that go forward. I'd like to note to everybody here in the Senate that one of the ways that you would be certified or one of the ways that you would be considered qualified is by taking that hunter safety course, which means that anybody who can hunt in the state is already qualified. Anybody who takes this course through high school would be qualified and would be certified as trained. Remember what I said yesterday, which is that there is a concern. There is a trade-off of rights where one person's rights for concealed carry does come into conflict on occasion with another person's rights to safety. It's up to this body and the House to try and establish where to draw that line. When this body previously put together the statutes that regulated concealed carry permits in Wyoming, they thought it was a good idea to include the safety requirement of training. Because training is truly essential when you're dealing with handguns, when you're dealing with firearms. What I'm trying to do is add back a little of that safety and to make sure that we're not short-circuiting those efforts. We're not limiting anybody. You don't have to sign a registration. If you go through the NRA training, I don't think the NRA is going to be putting together a central national database of people with certificates that law enforcement can access. I don't think the NRA is going to work that way. I do think that this is a good thing to help encourage the safe handling of firearms when we have them under concealed carry situations, and I would again urge adoption of this amendment, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion. Question being called. Senator Driscoll, did you rise? You may go ahead, Senator Driscoll. Yes. Go ahead, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
The bringer of this amendment has spoken for a second time. It is customary within the Senate that he be last, and therefore I would respectfully indicate that I think that Representative Senator from the Northeast.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Yes, Senator Cates.
President, on the point of order, I believe that is absolutely our custom. But it's a courtesy, and I believe it's not a rule. And I think that every person has the right to speak twice on an issue. So, although I discourage it, and perhaps the gentleman would decline his second opportunity, I think he's entitled to a second opportunity.
Thank you, Senator Driscoll, we all learn as we go, chair included. Question being called in regard to the second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 47. All those in favor, roll call being called, the ayes and nays being called, Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard. Bebout,
no.
Burns,
no.
Case,
no.
Christensen,
no.
Coe,
no.
Cooper,
no.
Dockstader,
no.
Driscoll,
no.
Emmerich,
no.
Esquibel,
no.
Geis,
no.
Hastert, Hicks,
no.
Hines,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Johnson, Landon,
no.
Martin,
no.
Meyer, excused, Nicholas,
excused,
Nutting,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson, excused, Ross,
no.
Rothfuss, Schiffer,
no.
Scott, Von Platern?
Excused.
President Anderson?
No.
Hastert?
Excused.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 2 ayes, 23 noes, 5 excused.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 47. has failed. We are now back on the bill. Any comments in regard to the bill? Seeing none. Senate File 47, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 51, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 51, Safety Belt Violation, sponsored by Senator Scott.
There is an amendment. It's the Rossus Amendment. The reading clerk will please read in that amendment.
Senate File 51, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 4.
Senator Rossus, would you like to move that amendment, please?
Mr. President, I would be happy to move this amendment. This is amendment, second reading amendment number 1 on Senate File 51, which addresses some of the concerns that we discussed yesterday regarding whether or not it would be sufficient cause to pull over a vehicle that the driver of the vehicle is not wearing a seat belt. What we have in the bill, this being the wrong bill, but the repealer, on page 2, line 24, by repealing that, you end up having a situation where it would be probable cause, it would be sufficient cause for a police officer to pull a vehicle over. This amendment removes that repealer, thereby leaving the rest of the bill intact, the $75 increase, or excuse me, a $50 increase to $75 for the violation, but it would not be sufficient to pull the vehicle over for that cause alone. I believe we discussed it yesterday. I hope there's some agreement within the Senate here, and I would urge adoption of this particular amendment on the bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Regarding the amendment, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, this amendment does exactly what the proponent says. If you pass the amendment, then we will stay with a secondary offense instead of moving to a primary offense. And if the amendment passes, then what the bill does is what the Senate agreed to last year, which was to raise the fine from $25 to $75. We did, I think, Mr. President, perfectly adequately discuss it in committee of the whole yesterday. All I would do is remind you that going from the existing secondary to the primary adds about 10 percentage points to your seatbelt compliance.
Further discussion in regard to the amendment? Question being called. Question being first, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 51. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has passed. Senate, is there any other discussion regarding the bill? Seeing none, Senate File 51, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 55, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 55, Subdivision Perimeter Partition Fencing, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee.
There are no amendments. Is there any discussion in regard to Senate File 55? Seeing none, Senate File 55, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 58, the reading clerk will read the second reading of the bill.
Senate File 58, Landowners' Rights, Wind Energy Development, sponsored by Senator Anderson.
There are no amendments. Is there any discussion regarding the bill? Seeing none, Senate File 58, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business for the consideration of bills on general file.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion has carried. Senator Emmerich, would you please approach the desk?
If I get it clear. There you go, sir.
The Committee of the Whole, please come to order. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 39. Mr. Clerk.
Senate File 39, Aquatic Invasive Species Reciprocity, an act relating to game and fish, sponsored by the Travel Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Burns, Christensen, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Escobel, Senator Burns, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Reeder. You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 39, Aquatic Invasive Species Reciprocity. Mr. Chairman, there are no standing committee amendments on it, and the good senator from Star Valley was supposed to be managing it, but I don't know where he went, so I will. Mr. Chairman, everybody on this floor, or most people on this floor, are familiar with the program that we've started. As a matter of fact, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that you refer to the good senator from Star Valley for an explanation of the bill. Okay, and Mr. Chairman, I take that back.
Thank you, Mr. Senator.
It's a simple bill, Mr. Chairman. Everybody here is familiar with the effort we've been making starting last year against the infestation of aquatic invasive species into the state of Wyoming. Fortunately, we have not had any into this state so far. To that extent, I credit some luck, and I also credit a great effort on the part of Game and Fish in this past year. There are similar efforts in surrounding states, and all this bill really does is give them the authority to enter into reciprocal agreements on the three waterways that we have in common with different surrounding states. One is the Bighorn or the Yellowtail Reservoir up on the Montana-Wyoming border. One is the Palisades Reservoir on the Wyoming-Idaho border. And the other is the Flaming Gorge Reservoir on the Wyoming-Utah border. And, Mr. Chairman, that's all this bill does, is give them the authority to enter into reciprocal agreements, and I would ask for favorable consideration.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I had a question for the sponsor of the bill or one of his committee members. A year ago when we did this, one of the things that we imposed a fee upon both residents and non-residents. There was a differential in the fee between resident voters and non-resident voters to have a permit for your invasive species. When we do this, obviously that's going to have a fiscal impact when we're honoring the reciprocity from another state. And I'm just wondering if they have any idea how much that's going to impact the amount of money that goes into that fund to fight that, and if that's going to end up with a corresponding increase and burden on the resident voters of the state to increase that fee so that the resident voters will continue to shoulder the burden on the in this battle, at least the financial burden of this battle against aquatic invasive species.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, the idea from the indications we got from the Game and Fish Department was that this reciprocal agreement would only extend to those particular bodies of water. So if you bought a reciprocal agreement in Idaho for the Palisades Reservoir, that did not entitle you to come to, let's say, Seminole. So as far as the amount that the residents of Wyoming or the program might miss out on, it's a minimal amount. The state of Utah has no program right now as far as fees go. Their legislature is paying for their entire program, and the state of Montana has no program. So that's where we're at the moment. But as I said, the reciprocal agreements would be just for those three bodies of water. So I would say would have very little fiscal impact.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, and just to follow up on that, and I will take him his word, I guess one of the questions I have is those three bodies of water may be the busiest bodies of waters with interstate boaters that we have in the state. And so I'm just wondering if actually that there may be, if they have any numbers on the significance of what that would be, because those may be the three most visited bodies of water in the state. I'm not sure of that, but they're certainly probably among the tops.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members who were here last year know that this is my old friend. Good to have aquatic invasive species back. I think that Senator from Natrona County has really hit on something here. To say that this has minimal impact, I've got to reach to understand that because, the bodies of Palisades and Flaming Gorge alone, there are a lot of boats that cross that border on both sides of our, both corners of our state in those respective bodies. This was sold in part last year by the fact that the boaters will foot the bill, the boaters only will foot the bill for this aquatic invasive species program that the Game and Fish put in place. I just have some question as to how high these stickers are going to go now if we eliminate some of our out-of-state friends helping us with this program.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I apologize for the absence there for just a moment. Thank you for the good chairman for covering for me for a moment. It's not geared towards adding expense. It's geared towards taking care of something that's already existing. We've been operating under essentially what's a gentleman's agreement, so to speak, specifically with Idaho. They have a great plan in place. They don't necessarily, they aren't as concerned. Utah, they're funding it themselves. We're a little worried that perhaps Montana doesn't have everything in place, but what we're asking at this point is just to take care of what's already been happening, especially in the case of working with Idaho and that reservoir that crosses the waters there, Palisades. I think the concern is headed in the wrong direction. We need to take care of this just so we have a good operating agreement with our adjoining states.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I just want the body to be clear on this. At the time, first of all, it wasn't sold. It is a program that at least I and I think a number of people in the state consider to be necessary and if not vital to the health of the state. And we always knew that the boating fees were never going to cover all the expenses for this. There's a good question as to where the funding for this program should come from. The funding fees covered, I think, a little over a third of the costs of the program this last year. We didn't know how much it was going to happen, it was going to cover and how much it wasn't. But I just want that to be clear. It really doesn't have much to do with this bill. But there will be an appropriation coming as far as this program goes. And I'll save most of my speech for then. But it's one of these deals. You pay me now or you pay me a whole lot later. And if we don't do something about these aquatic invasive species, the chairman of the Ag Committee or his successor, when they're doing 10 years, 12 years, 15 years from now, when they're doing the talking about the omnibus water bill, a good 30% or 40% of it is going to be to mitigation on irrigation systems and to water city. Water systems to try and mitigate the impact of these little critters.
Thank you. Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My colleague from Natrona County is exactly right when he's saying that the boats are what's paying for a good portion of this. And we did tag it on the boats. So think about the boats that we're really looking at. We were looking at the boats that have been outside the waters of Wyoming coming in. And so if we go to a reciprocity with that sticker from the states around us, even though we share the water, we're cutting that revenue. When I was on the committee, I was against this. I still stand against it. I think it's a way to cut revenue that we decided that we needed in the program. And I understand we have reciprocity on the boat license and stuff, but I think this program here needs every penny we can get out of it. And if we're saying the boaters that come from waters outside the state into our state, just because they have the sticker on their boat from their state, that's okay. That's the guys we're looking for. They ought to buy the sticker. So I'd hope you would resist this bill with all your might.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I think to have a smoothly running system to try and avoid the infestation of these aquatic invasive species, I think we have to have the authority. I think Game and Fish has to have the authority to have a reciprocal agreement with our surrounding states on it. Now, if there is a concern that there may be a loss of income, then I would suggest that those people concerned bring some sort of amendment on second reading that states that task Game and Fish with either doing an accounting for how much money might be lost or even a prohibition from Game and Fish losing any on this. But I do think that the ability to have a reciprocal agreement with these states is actually very important to being able to function, especially on these reservoirs that we share that go over the line, state line, with these other surrounding states.
Senator Dockstader.
Mr. Chair, that's the key. You can cross the waters on the state line with this situation. This bill addresses that specifically. We need to have this taken care of on these three reservoirs. These are adjoining states. It's not addressing specifically the finances. If you need to address that, fine. As the good chairman said, bring that back. But this is to get an operating agreement where the water itself is on the state line. Thank you.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, okay, you're not worried about the money? Then worry about the inspection. What we're doing on this with reciprocity is we're saying, okay, Montana, you go ahead and check the boats, put them in the water, and it's all right with us. We don't care what your program is. We don't care what you did. Idaho, it's okay. You guys know what you're doing. We've got a lot at stake with this invasive aquatic species. We need to be the ones in control of our destiny and what happens to us. So if you want to trust those other states that they're doing a good job, that's what you're doing with reciprocity. So you have two issues. You have whether you trust that other state to do as good a job as we're trying to do in Wyoming, and you have the loss of revenue.
Question has been called. Excuse me, Senator Burns.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to stir up any distrust with our neighboring states, but the fact is Utah has a very intense and good program, as does Idaho. In some ways, actually, Idaho's is better than ours. There would be reason for concern with Montana, but I think that they're going to come to their senses sooner rather than later with the program. If they have no program now, there's no reason to have a reciprocal agreement with them.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, Utah has them. We don't.
Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 39, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
It is passed. a division has been called for. Those in favor, please rise. Those opposed, please rise. The motion has passed. Next bill, please. Excuse me, Senator Martin, yes.
Mr. Chairman, could I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This last election, Sweetwater County went to a five-person commission after a previous election that the voters adopted that provision. Today, I have the opportunity to introduce two of our new commissioners sitting here to my left, Commissioner John Kolb and Commissioner Gary Bailiff. And would you give them a welcome from the Senate?
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to introduce Jerry Kennedy, one of our county commissioners also. Privilege of the floor. My apologies. My apologies, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
You may, Senator.
I wanted to introduce Jerry Kennedy, who's one of our county commissioners, and he's joined us today. Please give him a round of applause, too, if you would. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The second bill for our consideration, Senate File 45. This does have an amendment.
Senate File 45, Professional Services Procurement and Act Relating to Professional Service Procurement, sponsored by Senator Case. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill is in the area of professional services procurement, and it adds one word to the statute. It adds the word residency. Mr. Chairman, you're probably aware that we have a preference process for bidding on state contracts. Under that preference process, contractors that are residents of Wyoming receive a actual dollar preference in terms of their evaluation of their bids for public works in Wyoming. There is not a similar program with respect to professional services, because professional services are usually either not bid or always done in two steps, where they put their professional qualifications forward first, and then secondly the price is negotiated. So, Mr. Chairman, what this bill does is attempt to it requires that the people that are evaluating the procurement of professional services consider the residency of the applicant. Only consider. It is not mandatory. It doesn't say it has to go to folks that are residents of the state of Wyoming, but it puts it among a list of things that they have to consider. And the entire bill, I'm just going to read it. For each proposed project, the principal representative of the agency for which the project is proposed shall evaluate current statements of qualifications. And in the process, you get three firms. Consideration in each selection process by the principal representative shall be based upon the ability of the professional personnel, past performance, willingness to meet time requirements, location, a new word, residency, current and projected workloads, the volume of work previously awarded by the firm to the agency, and the equitable distribution of contracts among qualified firms. So you see, previously we had a word location, and that's actually been interpreted by many state entities as meaning something to do with residency, because location is an advantage, and it might reflect the ability of a firm to work and to complete a project, to be a better performer of the project. But location and residency aren't necessarily the same thing. This adds the word residency, and it just says in the list of things that you are required to consider, consider their residency. Does it say that they has to go to Wyoming resident companies? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But testimony in committee was, I think, 100% favorable. I don't recall a single person against this. I have talked to folks in state agencies, including folks that currently run the Department of Administration Information for the state of Wyoming. They support the bill, to see it as a problem, even say that's kind of what we do all along. I talked to folks at Water Development. They said this is kind of what we do all along. That's the way we've always interpreted that word location, but this is a good change to clear that up. I'm happy to answer any questions. There is a committee of the whole amendment, and if there's no questions, I would offer that, but I'll wait.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And there's no one that supports contractor preference in Wyoming any more than I do. And the committee of the whole amendment speaks to one of the points. The question I have is the definition of residency, and I know the committee of the whole amendment will exclude a portion of that, but if could you talk about the residency issue, if what definition you're thinking about or how they come up with that definition? Is it through, are you anticipating through rules, or are there other parts of the statute? And maybe, Mr. Chairman, we should go ahead and have him work the committee of the whole amendment and get into that discussion then.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up on my good friend from Riverton with regard to that residency requirement, I guess I would ask if there was testimony from a legal perspective as to whether or not just placing the word residency in the statute would thereby trump some of those other factors. And, I agree with the senator from the West. Nobody appreciates Wyoming work more than I do, but I do realize that some services that are procured out of state do save lots and lots of dollars. So I guess I just want to maybe have a little more discussion on that residency word.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, there was considerable discussion in committee on the issue of the residency and what it meant. And it's deliberately just a little vague. What you're doing here is putting it in the list of things to be considered. And there's some real advantages to having somebody local as your architect or engineer, for example, that they have some local knowledge, they have experience working with the local contractors. Those are very helpful. They're available in person a lot quicker than somebody who's out of state. And there'd be advantages, for instance, if you have a firm that is an out-of-state firm but has a long-established Wyoming office. They may have many of the advantages of residency because some of their people will be residents. And that's an advantage over somebody who doesn't have a local presence. Representation. However, it's not an absolute thing, and there will be cases where we're building something where the real expertise on what we're doing isn't in Wyoming because we don't have the necessary volume of business here in Wyoming. And in that case, an out-of-state professional may be a very good idea. So when you put it in this way and leave it vague and don't try to define it too tightly, then you've given the people who are making the selection the ability to use some common sense and to consider the real advantages that Wyoming residency brings and weigh that against possible greater professional qualifications in the particular kind of project you're doing that might be out elsewhere. And so I think it's wise to do as the sponsor did in this bill, to not define it any tighter than it has been.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, I would address the points offered. I looked at it actually a tighter bill originally when I was looking at this. I'm trying to say, boy, let's make sure that residency is at a criteria that, you know, we basically, our policy should be, if no one else can do it better, let's give it to a Wyoming firm. And I do believe that. But the problem is you start getting to a point where if you have an absolute like that, you violate the United States Constitution and prohibition against interstate contracts. Now, we get away with that in a little bit of a gray area. We do it with our preference points, or not preference points, but our contractor preferences. But it's only a few percentage point we can get away with it. And we do it to have in-state versus out-of-state differential in hunting licenses. And, you know, you can do it in a few things, but you can't absolutely say, we want this to go to a Wyoming firm. So I decided to have a criteria that they would consider the residency, but it's only a consideration. Listen to the list. Consideration shall be based upon ability, performance, time requirements, location, residency, workloads, and then a couple of really vague ones that are interesting. The volume of work previously awarded. Meaning, is that a positive or a negative? I don't really know. If you've given them lots of work, are you supposed to move it around? That's a pretty vague term in there, but it's in there. And also the equitable distribution of contracts upon qualified firms. You got a lot of wiggle room in this section, so I do think this is the place that residency should go. I'm deliberately vague about it so that you could consider cases where, you know, they really are an out-of-state corporation, but they've made this tremendous commitment. They've opened an office in Wyoming, and they have people live and work here. And, you know, I'd like to see that them be able to do it. So I've left it vague. And to maintain the vagueness, I have an undefinition, which is the subject of the amendment, which was suggested by some. So if I could move the amendment and have it read in.
Thank you, Senator. Senate File 45. Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 13.
Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 45, suggested by someone that, you know, we have residency defined in different places in our statutes. One thing for game and fish, it's one for this. But within the area of professional services procurement, there's also a closely related area called public works and contracts. And the fear was that someone might reach from one act to another act and grab the definition that is under public works and contracts. And so what this does is say, we're not referring to the definition of residency, which is very specific in this other act. So, and I have that. That's actually 166101. It's you have to be a resident of the state for 1 year, and your corporation has to be in the state for more than a year. It talks about where the shareholders live. It goes on and on and on in detail, probably in an area that we're exactly trying to get away from. So I'm saying don't refer to this other act in defining residency. I hope that answers the question. We're deliberately vague.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would speak on and in favor of this amendment. And the decision this body has to make is relative to what you want to do in terms of being more specific or more broad. And in this particular case, when you deal with professional services, given the nature of our state, it's probably worth trying this, and I think it's a decent idea. But I will tell you that the first time an issue comes up between someone that's truly a resident professional servicing company in our state that would qualify under all of these definitions, they're going to come and say, well, I am a resident and you're really not. Maybe that won't happen given the nature of it, but And when you look at that statute, and there'll be some other legislation proposed during this session that really gets to that whole issue of contractors' preference that, again, I'm very supportive of, because there, we have a lot of, not a lot, we have firms out there that really come in and try to do an end run on what we're trying to do is protect Wyoming workers, Wyoming people, Wyoming contractors, and Wyoming businesses. So I would ask the body to support this and support the bill, but I think being vague, there could be issues that come up later.
Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt the committee of the whole amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. The motion to adopt the committee or the standing committee amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Excuse me, Senator Nutting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wish to speak in favor of the bill. I have received quite a lot of communication from our citizens of Wyoming asking that we support this bill. The points that have been brought to me are that it will be an encouragement to business, it will help our employment status, and that it will promote economic growth. I support this bill, and I urge the members of the Senate to support it.
Senator Case.
Standing between us and lunch, this is going to be very quick. When we look at economic development in the state of Wyoming, all our efforts about film incentives, revenue bonds, business council, everything we do is dwarfed by the money we spend on public projects for schools and highways. That is truly where the rubber hits the road, and that is multiple times, more than 10, 20, 30 times what we spend on our economic development and recruitment programs. We spend building things. That's why we need to promote Wyoming firms, people working on these projects that put kids in our schools, that stay here, that have made a commitment to live and share our great land. That's why we need this bill.
Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senate File 45, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. Motion is passed. Senator Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could I have privilege of the floor again, please?
Oh, certainly.
Sitting to my left here are some good friends of mine. We have the chairman of the Sweetwater County Commission, Wally Johnson, and his wife, Harriet. So would you please welcome them?
Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Senator Anderson.
See you later. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Are there any announcements?
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet 15 minutes after the noon recess in room S18 to discuss the following bill: Senate Joint Resolution 6, Environmental Protection Agency Regulations, Senate File 116, Oil and Gas Enhanced Recovery Microbial Conversion, Senate File 119, Real Estate Brokers and Salesmen Revisions. And, Mr. President, on Monday, January 24th, 15 minutes after noon recess in room S18, to continue, if necessary, discussion on Senate File 119, Real Estate Brokers and Salesmen Revisions 2, and Senate File 120, Workforce Services and Employment Reorganization. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, your committee number 12, Rules, will meet today upon adjournment in S5 to continue our work on Senate File 95, Legislative Committee Membership.
Other announcements? Other announcements? Seeing none, you heard the motion. The Senate shall stand recess until 2 p.m.